All right, friends, one of the goals in life is to mature, to go from a place of infancy to maturity, to grow up. And so we all begin as little babes, drinking milk, not knowing right from wrong, immature in so many ways. You're probably a Raiders fan. And then over time, you grow a mile high and you become a Broncos fan. Mike, I'm so glad Mike is on staff with us, even though he's a Raiders fan. A young Padawan will see the way soon. But in all seriousness, maturity is what we're after. We're after spiritual maturity. One thing that God wants of his people is to grow up in the Lord, to grow up in the likeness, the image of Jesus Christ, their Savior, that they would be transformed from being merely infants in the Scriptures, in the knowledge of him, in the ways of him, to be actually mature in understanding the deep things of God that we looked at last week. And so we're going to look at, again, 1 Corinthians. We're going to be in chapter 3 this week, where Paul is writing to a church that he started that has grown. And it's great to see growth at a church. And I'm excited to see growth here at Calvary. But growing in numbers is not our mission, but that we would grow in maturity. It's wonderful that many more seats are taken, that we're trying to drive people to different services and trying to figure out how we can get people to serve in more capacities to manage growth. But what I'm concerned with the most is this, is are you growing in Christ? Like, I'm glad you're here at Calvary, because this church's mission is to help grow you, make a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, and to grow into that likeness, to leave childish things behind, and to grow in the faith that you've been brought into. And so Paul is writing to this church in Corinth that is coming from a familiar place that's like our culture, okay? It loves sport, it loves entertainment, it loves sensuality, it loves business, it's successful, it's like part of the epicenter of trade. And there are these elite sophists, these teachers coming in with their rhetorical, eloquent speeches, gathering followers, and then here's Paul, who's not doing that, and yet a church is born by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's speaking to this young, growing church that it needs to grow up, that it's brought some of those habits in from the world around them, and it's using the posturing of how they would posture with the sophists, the teachers, and trying to do that inside the church, like, I follow Paul, and I follow Apollos, look at me, they're wearing it as badges. And Paul says, you got to knock that off. That has no place here in the family of God. You have to remove yourself from the worldly, cultural practices you grew up in, and you've been brought in the family of God, you've been born again by the power of the Holy Spirit, now you're infants, but you're supposed to grow up now in the ways of God. And so how does someone get stifled in their maturity, and then how does someone grow? We're going to look at that as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll pick up right where we left off. So he's telling this church that they have the mind of Christ, which is amazing. The thoughts of God is in them. And then he says this, but I need to address an issue. But I, brothers and sisters, family members, I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, still like attached to that natural man, that natural woman, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. So he's addressing this church, remember, with some of their immaturity. And the way that their immaturity has really surfaced is in these divisions. And some things in this church are so bad Paul has to address later, they're doing things that not even the pagan, unbelieving world does inside this church, which leads some people to ask this question, specifically here in chapter 3, are they even Christians? In fact, some people will take chapter 3 and use it as a way to describe them as really carnal, not really Christians. Because Paul says you're still acting in the flesh, like the natural man or natural woman you were before God spiritually reborn you. And so the question is, are we even talking about Christians? Well, the answer is yes. It's not as though there's non-Christians and then there are carnal Christians and then there are real Christians. Carnal meaning like sinful, fleshy. It's not like, you're like, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm a sinful Christian. That doesn't sound right. Now, we know that as Christians, we still continue to sin. The Apostle John tells us, if anyone is to say, I'm without sin, they're a liar. The truth of God is not in them. And so we would admit that we have sin in our life. So what is this that Paul is addressing? Well, he's addressing, first and foremost, believers. There are those who do not know Jesus and those who know Jesus, who follow him, love him, have made him the Lord of their life. And then there are those who have done that and are still infants in the faith. It's not another category. He's basically telling them, you are babies. Stop being a baby and grow up. But they are Christians. Back in chapter 1, he's already made this clear. This is chapter 1. Starting in verse 4, he says, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him. That's what happened when they became believers. They were fully enriched in him. Verse 6, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, it's true of you. Verse 7, so that you are not lacking in any gift. He already gave the Spirit and the spiritual gifts to them. And as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So they're Christians. Part as I told them, you've been enriched, you've been gifted, you've been confirmed, you are being sustained. In chapter 3, he addresses them as brothers and sisters. They're family members. And so he has to address being family members is their immaturity. They're still stuck in their sin in these earthly, fleshly, natural ways. They've taken the cultural practices that they grew up in, have brought them into the church, and continue to live in them. And Paul's saying, that's not of us. Remember, we're called set apart, holy, different. And to remind ourselves, the practice that they continue to bring in is this practice of following the sophists, the teachers, these elite rhetoricians that would come in and gather a following, and they'd say, I follow this person, I follow this person, and they would posture themselves, and they would esteem themselves over another person in the community. And Paul says, that's not what the church is about. That's not what you do with Paul and Apollos and Peter. Some of you guys are trying to even do this with Christ. Stop dividing what's unified. That's what the world does. Not so here. So they're definitely Christians stuck in there immaturity. Now, how's that possible? Well, think of the analogy of marriage. This is one I've used before with you. Is you might be betrothed, you might be engaged, waiting to be married. You are 100% single. Even if you pretend to be married, you are still 100% single until a moment happens where the two of you, you and your wife, or you and your husband, are standing in front of the pastor, and the pastor says, do you take this man? Yes. Do you take this woman? Yes. Okay, based on your vows and what you have confessed with your mouth in front of this company and before God, I pronounce something on you that was not true of you 2 seconds ago. I pronounce that your identity is fully changed. I pronounce that you are husband and wife. And what God has brought together, let no man separate. So I pronounce that you have a brand new identity and you are fully 100% married. In one moment, you go from 100% fully single, no matter how much you were pretending to be married, to 100% fully married. Now, for the fellas in the room, do you have any idea what it means to be married? No. All the ladies are like, yeah, my husband is still in the maturing process. And for ladies, you're still in the maturing process. Let me tell you a story. I've been married 18 years. I was married when I was 23 years old. And in one moment, I went from being single to being married. And I still had all the immaturities of being single, the habits of being single, the mindset of being single. So less than a year after we were married, so this is going to be in July, I was going to be turning 24 years old. Whew, big time. And my wife threw me a birthday party, which birthday parties are not a big deal for me. I really don't like all the attention. But a friend of mine, Mike, came and he brought me a present, something that my life lacked since I was born. I never had access to one of these. I never got to enjoy one of these. I was deprived as a child. He brought me a PlayStation. And I thought, oh, my lucky day. I get this used PlayStation. It did not come with any games, and so I had to go to this magical world called Blockbuster. If you don't know what a Blockbuster is, back in the day, young whippersnapper, there was a place that you had to actually drive to rent a movie or video game. And you would get there, and it was the saddest thing because you thought you were there to watch and to check out like this new release, and all of them were checked out. Oh, so you'd have to watch like where the red fern grows for the 15th time. Anyway, I went down to Blockbuster, and I checked out Call of Duty so I could stop the Nazis from invading the world. And I went home that night, and I put in to my brand new used PlayStation Call of Duty, and I began to play for a couple hours. Well, about 10 o'clock came around, and Kristen comes down and says, hey, I'm heading to bed. Are you coming to bed? And I just kept playing. 11:30, she comes out and says, hey, Thomas, are you playing all night or are you coming to bed? I just had to save the world, so I just kept playing. After 1 o'clock in the morning, Kristen comes out and says, Thomas, are you coming to bed? I hit pause on the controller and say, in all of my marital maturity, I will come to bed when I am ready to come to bed, and hit start again. That's good, huh? That's good. 2 minutes later, I'll tell you what happened in just a moment. This is what Paul is saying. Paul's looking at this church saying, okay, you got a new identity. Like you were of the world, the natural man, the natural woman, and then you confessed Christ. And that wasn't of your own doing. Something spiritual happened to you. And now you're no longer of the world. Stop behaving. Stop having the same habits, values, practices of the world. Leave all that behind and come into this new marriage you have with Christ and with the church. And so it changes the way that you have to behave. And what they were struggling with that Paul points out says these are acts of immaturity. Some of us need to realize where it is that we're living immature lives. And here Paul points out in verse 3, you are still of the flesh, for while there is, and this is what he points out, jealousy and strife amongst you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? So he looks at him and says, look at the jealousy that you have, and then the strife, the quarreling, the fighting you have inside the body of believers with one another. This is evidence of your old nature that needs to be put to death. Now, Paul expands this when he writes to another church in Galatia. This is a letter to the Galatians, where he really points out, okay, there is a lot to the old nature, the old singleness, so to speak, that dies hard. Like these love relationships and habits, they're hard to put away, but we're called to do it. As spiritual people, we are following a new direction, the Spirit of God. So this is what he says in Galatians chapter 5. He says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Like you want to grow up in Christ? And this old nature, this sin nature, this single nature is opposed to you growing up in Jesus. It resists you growing up in Jesus. He says, you got to put that to death and follow a different voice now. This is what he says in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh, of the natural man, the natural woman, they're evident. Here's a few of them. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. Like, this is not even a complete list. It's things like these that you knew were part of your life before you came to know Christ, and they're still hanging around, and they need to be resisted and put away so that you can grow up in your faith. Now, do you see the two that Paul points out in 1 Corinthians in that list? Right there in verse 20, strife and jealousy. Like, when you're fighting with each other about who do you follow and which teacher do you like the best and causing divisions, you're acting in the old nature, the flesh. And it has no place in the church. And so you're acting as infants. Stop acting as infants. Let's grow up now, he says. Then he goes on in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Like, we're trying to put that to death, crucify it, so that we can live unto another, to be transformed into another image, which is the image of Jesus Christ, no longer with the world around us. We're choosing that relationship and relationship with one another, no longer ourself. We're no longer self-interested, self-focused, self-esteeming, self-exalting. It's all about Christ. It's about the other. Let's grow up now. Let's grow up, Christian. That's what Paul is saying. So he addresses the issue that's happening in Corinth with these divisions. Let's go back here. Verse 4. For when one says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, are you not merely human? That's old desires. Verse 5. For what then is Apollos and what is Paul? So I'm going to teach you. I'm going to give you instruction of how do you think of Paul? And how do you think of Apollos? How should you think of your favorite Christian teacher? He says, what is Paul? What is Apollos? Servants through whom you believed. The idea of servants is the low member in the household, a waiter, a busboy. That's how you should think of Paul and Apollos. They're using them as badges to prop themselves up. He's saying, no, you don't get it. We are the lowly members of the household serving you. Like a waiter brings you your meal, like a busboy cleans up after you. That's who I am as Paul, and that's who Apollos is, and that's who your favorite teacher is. They are servants. As the Lord, it says, assigned to each. Like, the Lord assigned their unique position as a server or a busboy, as a waiter. The Lord has given servants to the church, and he has assigned to men and women, we're going to expound on this throughout 1 Corinthians, a unique gift set, a position, a function, a passion to serve the church with. That's all we are. So we're servants that are uniquely assigned, and you're taking our assignment and causing it as a division. Don't divide us. He says, I planted, Apollos watered. That's their assignment. But God, who's the famous one? Who should we make much of? God. Whose church is it? God's. Who's doing this work? God. But God gave the growth. So it wasn't even Paul who started the church, who planted. He didn't make this thing grow. It wasn't Apollos who brought water to the seed. No, it's God. God's using these servants to bring about growth, but the Lord God alone is the one who brings the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one. This is the next thing he wants you to understand. Unlike the sophists, the teachers of the world, they want to try to gather a following and divide you against another person or another group of people. Not so with the teachers in the church. We are one. Paul and Apollos are one. We're same team Jesus. Like, stop trying to divide us, Paul is saying. So we're servants that have been assigned that are one in mission. And he says each will receive his wages according to his labor. Now, we're going to talk later on in 1 Corinthians of rewards for works. So I'm going to leave that for another day. But one thing I want you to notice here is their wages are based on their labors, not their fruitfulness. Why? Because God gives the growth. So they're not rewarded based on how fruitful, how accomplished they are. They're based on, were they faithful to labor as a servant as they were assigned? That's a mature thought. We're growing in this. And then lastly, he says, for we are God's fellow workers. We're working with him. So we're servants of God who have been assigned that are one in mission. You can consider us fellow workers. Fellow workers. And then he says, and this is who you are. You are God's field, God's building. God's field is a beautiful analogy from the prophets of the Old Testament to describe the people of God as a vineyard. That God is going to plant a vineyard, and in his vineyard, he is going to grow up a people that will be fruitful, that will mature, that will produce a fruit. And then this building is a picture that he's going to pick up here in a minute, that we are being built up together. And so again, what you see is this jealousy and this strife, and Paul says, okay, that is so worldly. That's from your old identity of belonging to the world. That has no place here in the church. If you want to have a right thinking of God's great teachers, they're servants, they're assigned, they're one, they're fellow workers, and the one we're making a hero around here is one person, is God. His son, Jesus Christ. The work of the Holy Spirit. That is it. And so we're supposed to grow up, grow out of these old ways into new ways. And so let me ask you this. If you were just thinking about the list in Galatians, you might be mature in many areas. Maybe you're mature in the sense of you really know your scriptures. It's awesome. Maybe you're really mature in the sense that you serve or that you financially contribute to the work of God. That's so good. But what are the areas of your immaturity? And no one knows that you struggle with alcohol 7 days a week, just trying to manage the stress of life. Or this immaturity of bitterness and unforgiveness. Maybe it's to a spouse or a family member or a friend or a coworker, someone who's really hurt you, but you will not grow towards forgiveness in the Lord. Like, you know the area where you are immature. And there is so much grace there. But the grace that God gives is not so that you can stay in it. It's so that you can grow from it. Do you hear that? God's grace given to you isn't so you can just stay in it. It's so that you can grow from it. Are you growing in your maturity and relationship with God and with others? So there I was, playing Call of Duty. 2 minutes later, I just hit pause, and I think, Thomas, you're an idiot. Apparently, you do not have the moral maturity to own a video game system. Your mom was right. You're going to choose this over being with your wife? No way. So I roll up the controller, unplug the game system, and give it away. Why? Why? Because I'm called to grow up into my marriage, into my relationship with my new wife, into an identity of oneness. And something was creeping in to cause division. For those who are married, have you experienced something like this? There are moments in your marriage where it will truly be a decision crossroads in which you make a decision in this moment that will put you and your marriage on a trajectory for the next decade. And what Paul is saying within the church is this: there are decisions that we are making constantly of entertaining old love relationships, old habits, old ways with the world that are putting us on a trajectory to remain immature like infants. But the call of God on your life is to grow up and to grow into the deep things of God. So when Paul says, I came to you and I gave you milk, yeah, because you were infants. And the problem is, I'm still giving you milk. All I can teach you is Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And I love that. And I'm going to remind you that every time. But there are other things of the deep things of God, the mysteries of life, about your relationship with God, the spiritual power that you have, the authority of Christ, the sovereignty of God, the wisdom of God that I want you to grow up into. But you're going to need some teeth. It's like meat. And so the call is, okay, can I just identify in my life? For the Corinthians, it was jealousy and strife and over these religious teachers. But can you identify an area in your life that's maybe listed in Galatians or the Holy Spirit convicts you of that says, that's childish. Like, you just got to turn that off. You got to put that away. You're done with that. You belong to another. That's not helping you grow up in your identity of Christ. Be done with that. And then here's the question, how do people grow? Well, there's three things here. It's not a whole message on how people grow. I'd love to give one at some point. But there's three things here of how do you actually grow and how do you mature? Well, first and foremost, you can't omit that God causes the growth. So first and foremost, you can't grow and become a mature man or woman apart from the work of God in your life. And so the natural man, the natural woman who doesn't know God yet, the reason we can't break those habits and stop those things, I mean, you would if you could already, is that you need God's power in your life to change you. This is the call to be reborn by the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can change, for God causes the growth. So you need the Spirit of God, number one. Number two is you need the Word of God in your life. Remember, Paul is giving them the Word of why is it that this is immature? What has God called us to? What is the standard? What has sabotaged your growth of maturity? That's why we come to the Word. God, would you teach me? Would you search me and know me? Would your Word help me understand your ways? And would you help me establish my steps in following you? This is why a regular daily diet around God's Word, empowered by the Spirit of God, is what's bringing growth. And so you have to ask yourself, am I around His Word enough? Do I even know what's mature and what's immature and what the next step is for maturity? And then thirdly is this, you need the workers of God in your life. You need others in your life like Paul and Apollos that are going to plant seeds. Like here's something you did not know. I'm going to deposit this in your life from God's Word, from His ways, so that something new would grow up in your life. And you need fellow workers like Apollos who are going to water that seed. They're going to encourage that growth. They're going to come alongside you and help you see how God is maturing you. Those are the three things we need in our life. If we're going to grow as a congregation together over the next 20 years, this is what we need: the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the workers of God, so that we would mature in our faith. This is what we require. Now, here's the thing at Calvary. I love that we're growing. But if we miss this mark, we didn't win. We lost. Is we must grow, not simply numerically, but in maturity, to leave the childish things behind, the things of the world, the things of our past identity, and to mature into Christ. How are we going to do it? Relying on the Spirit, opening His Word together as we work on this. That's our desire. Let's commit it to the Lord. Father, I thank you that you are the one that's interested in growing us, that you actually are involved in growing us. And so, Father, I just pray that you would speak to every man and woman in this room right now, and that you would help them identify the area of immaturity that you would like to address. Father, would they surrender that to you? Would they confess that to you? Turn from it? Ask for your help. And follow the leading of the Spirit. Father, we ask that you would do a work amongst us that we cannot do for ourselves. Grow us into the likeness of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Mature us, Lord. from infancy to maturity. We ask this in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.